Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. It's the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, and it's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Zen Gardner. We're trying to connect him up now. And we were just having a conversation off air. There was a bit of a technical issues at the American Freedom Radio. And I apologize to everybody who tried to tune in for the first hour to get those technical difficulties. And we're still having them, unfortunately, and can't connect Zen. So it looks like I'm just going to, instead of having a conversation with him off air and recording that, now I'm all alone. Thank you, technical issues. Just love that. Okay. What am I going to talk about? How about I summarize for the audience exactly what me and Zen were on about during the last hour? How about that? Okay. Well, America. What is it about America nowadays that's making so many Americans, awake Americans, get the frack out of there? It's the new Babylon. You know, when I was 14... and I came to America for the first time, I'd never seen smog before. And then when I landed at LAX, it was like I was landing in a land of disgusting filth, populated by idiots who had no idea where New Zealand is or what it was, surrounded by fast food restaurants, Fuddruckers and Monterey Jack cheese. And yet, everybody seemed to be really happy with that situation. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that just crazy? That something that allegedly started off as a free nation, something that allegedly was the home of the entrepreneurial spirit, freedom, patriotism, that kind of thing, has now simply become as George Carlin said, one giant shopping mall. Isn't that a terrifying thing to behold? And indeed, Americans are the sacrificial lambs of the New World Order. They've built you up so that they can tear you down. And Zen talked about how... Oh, and I think we're getting him now. I'll just add him to the conversation. He was talking about how 9/11 truth could actually destroy and bring down America. Zen, welcome to the program. Well, I was just reiterating our last conversation about how 9/11 truth could bring down and destroy America, because you'd have so many people, like when you wake up to 9/11 truth or whatever, you get really depressed and really angry. But it's only happening one person at a time, you know, isolated. And if it suddenly became like a big international thing, suddenly you'd have the whole world getting depressed and angry at the same time, and imagine the chaos that would ensue. And then imagine the order that would be imposed by the Illuminati in order to, you know, order out of chaos. That's the 33rd degree Freemasonic motto, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Oh, good. I missed the intro. I got my line dropped for a while.
Yeah. We've sorted it now.
Okay, good.
Now, anyway, let's jump forward. And let's talk about what we were interrupted in during the first hour. I asked you what woke you up to all of these things, and you said that you had gone to Woodstock and taken mezcal, and you got into mysticism and that sort of thing. Would you please continue?
Sure. That was in my college years. And I really got into studying. Mysticism has always fascinated me. And I took a lot of, it's funny, I started in engineering in college, and I went out of college studying Eastern philosophy. And my parents were like, what happened to this kid? So I took off, I started traveling, went all over the world. I was really searching. and went through different phases. And a lot happened. I had my my three kids on the road. Two were born in India. One was born in Iran just before Khomeini came. But a lot of traveling, a lot of interesting stuff. Did a lot of volunteer work, a lot of editing, some television and radio. And it went on, and I went through different levels of awareness of what's going on, like everybody. And when I came back to the States after living overseas for 20 years, it was quite a shock. And I got a sales job with doing selling a healthy cooking system and doing demonstrations. And this really was interesting because I traveled around the country and I did a lot of presenting and understanding people. Unfortunately, there was a lot of the sales techniques in it. Like Bill Hicks says, if you're in sales or marketing, kill yourself. So I went through that phase, learned a lot though. And but the really big wake up finally came. I went through a political spell and I was caught in the paradigms, and I was very upset about the direction of the world. But when 9/11 truth ripped open my brain, that was it. It's like what's his name? Visible says, you know, it's the litmus test. And it really was a big deal. But I was at a point at that time, I was so ripe, and all the things I'd been through and studied and kept studying and all the different experiences and paradigms I'd been through all came to a head just before that. And I was deep into the social engineers of Europe and what was behind these changes happening in the States, and thinking, well, is this my time to stand up for what? Like, what am I here for? I'm missing something. And it was at that point, bam, that 9/11 truth came to me, and it really put everything in perspective. And I just lost my shirt in all these stupid things that had been going on, the manipulation of the money. And it was the best thing that ever happened. And I just went off, lived near the beach, and studied for 2-3 years straight, just devoured everything I could find about anything, especially the spiritual, but also, you know, connecting the dots of what's really going on. And that was really what got me fired up. And I said, okay, I'm throwing in here. This is what I've always been searching for. All my buttons have been activated, and I'm all in on this and wherever it takes me. And it's interesting. You said earlier, if people hear the first hour, you were talking about how people are, I don't know what the word you used. You referenced this in some way, how people, you know, dive into the, oh yeah, we're talking about most of us out here are more or less on our own. We're alone together, but a lot of us are fighting through this stuff, researching and trying to get the message out and helping people. And we're pretty much one horse operations, a lot of people. And we of course we help each other. And I have so many people to thank, as all of us do. But we're going down a highway that's got like four lanes now of already laid pavement of truth laid down by our predecessors, people who have gone before us, who've given their lives and sacrificed everything to find out the information they did, leading across the pass to a natural place, this highway of truth. Actually, this analogy came to me while I was listening to your show with Max Egan. But we have so many people to thank, but each of us has our machines there on the very edge. You know, you've seen these big road building convoys, and they're amazing. They chew it up and they dig the land, and then they do this and they put the rock and they do this. And that's what's going on with the truth movement. The real truth movement is out there grinding the path, and hordes of people are coming down this highway now, and they're coming to the end, and they're starting to settle in this new valley of truth. It's happening. It's like the building of the Panama Canal. First, somebody had to visualize it, then somebody had to kind of design it. Then they had to go out there and topographically map the thing, you know. Then they had to, you know, all the other stuff involved. Then they got to bring all these people in who just dug it for years and years and gave their lives. But finally, now boats can go through unimpeded, and they have no idea what it costs to put that thing there. But the point is that access is now there. And that's what we're all doing. We're building this highway of truth. And every person matters. I don't care if somebody's out there. I remember when I was in Colombia, somebody would come to your house with the top of a tuna can or some kind of can that was opened by a hand opener. And they would be willing to cut your lawn, picking one little sprig at a time and cutting it with the edge of a lid of a can. That's how willing they were to work for to make a living for their family. And if that's all anybody can do, then do it. I mean, we each, and that's how I started. You know, like I was telling you, I had 35 hits on an article and I was like, you know, elated. Like, wow, somebody's reading. I'm reaching somebody. I don't even know who they are. What a cool dynamic, you know? And then it just grew and it grew. And as I expressed what I learned and what I felt, the voice got louder. The message gets clearer. The wonderful people come into your life to encourage and inspire you. I mean, the dynamic, I can't tell people enough what happens when you get into this flow, and it's for everybody. You know, I'm no hot shit. I'm no special person. I just,
We're now under FCC regulations, so I apologize to the affiliates. Sorry. For that. Yeah. The first hour, it was kind of free and clear.
I see what I said. I said special person. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I mean, we say the word Shiite Muslim if we want to say that word, or frack if we want to say the F word.
Okay.
There's word replacement therapy.
I can play that.
Yeah. And it was interesting you saying that 9/11 truth was the litmus test, because when I found out about it, I got scared litmus.
Where is that little miss? Oh, geez. Vinny, the world was never made for people as beautiful as you. You've heard that song, right?
Hey, I'm 6 foot four. I know exactly what you mean, okay? Anybody who's 6 foot four getting into a Japanese car, it becomes abundantly clear that this world is not made for people like me.
I'm quoting Don McLean. I was thinking about that song today. Should have told you, Vinny, the world was never made for people as beautiful as you.
Yeah.
That's the dark cage that we were describing earlier. You know, there's this dark thing that has been imposed on humanity, and it's a complete lie. It's real in its own self, but we can't reinforce it by reacting to it. We can't reinforce it by getting hateful. We can't reinforce it by playing its games, like the Zimmerman baloney and the fracking Snowden stuff. It's like, all this stuff is designed to keep us at a lower level vibration of thinking, cause and effect. He's doing this, and who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? We've got to transcend this and learn to live in a much more conscious universe now. And it really brings things into a wonderful perspective. All of a sudden, you're not interested. If there's a website you are suspicious about and you're not sure if it's really for you or not, you know what? You're just going to stop going to it. It'll happen naturally. It's a wonderful dynamic. You know, as the more awake you get, it works in your favor. And it's not so much a mental process as a heart process. And I just can't wait for more people to get tuned into it, because it's really our future. It's really our solution for right now. And the more people tuned into it, boy, we're going to have a lot of fun.
And, you know, back on the Zimmerman case, and we mentioned this in the first hour. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to listen to that first hour when it's uploaded at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I'm just going to splice the 2 hours together. Frack it. And what occurred to me, I was just thinking about this, because I published this statistic on my Facebook about there's been about, like, I don't know, about 11,000 African Americans have killed other African Americans in the 500 days since George Zimmerman shot Trayvon. And I was accused of being racist, essentially, for publishing a statistic. The white man is using statistics. You know, it's like, this is one of the most horrible racial crimes nowadays. You know, a white man uses statistics. Oh my God, he's practically wearing a KKK hood. All right, he's armed with statistics. It is statistics are the new lynch mob. You know, so
weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, and it's something occurred to me. You know what? This is a misnomer. Yeah. One dude kills one child. Okay, even if it was self-defense, even if it's guilty, doesn't matter. And I've probably offended like thousands of millions of people right now, and they've just switched off the radio show because they're so fracking close-minded that they can't even listen to truth or facts. And, well, maybe not the listeners to this show. But anyway, you know what's more offensive than one kid being shot by one guy one night? 80 million black children being deliberately aborted by Planned Parenthood that used to be called the American Eugenics Society and actually has Margaret Sanger as its head saying we're trying to deliberately exterminate the blacks. That's more offensive. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Let's bring that music down, eh? Let's bring that music down. Because I don't want to waste my time with you here, Zen. It was actually really nice doing it commercial free for the first hour. So let's try and get as much done as humanly possible. And I've got my lovely Sarah bringing me coffee. And I've got Zen Gardner on the show.
Hi, Sarah.
And we're talking about scumbaggery and people being distracted by false dichotomies like racism when, hello, it's actually just the New World Order trying to exterminate everybody at the exact same time. Okay? It had nothing to do with racism. It has to do with if you're not one of the elite billionaires, you're fracked, and they want to kill you. And they use people, this case, like Trayvon Martin. No offense to anybody intended here when I say this. They're using it to distract you so that they can kill you. Okay? They're using it to get you to fight amongst each other so that you kill each other instead of actually figuring out what the heck is going on here. Instead of finding out the copious quantities of scumbaggery individuals that are trying to frack you over every single fracking day. It isn't George Zimmerman that tried to kill you. It isn't George Zimmerman that is destroying the country. It isn't George Zimmerman that is taking over the entire world and pumping everybody full of noxious vaccines and chemtrails and fluoride and so on and so forth. It ain't George Zimmerman! But he's the one you're getting angry at. Isn't that interesting? Why don't you grow the frack up, ladies and gentlemen, and realize the truth, the real, simple, obvious truth that you are a slave, and those who are enslaving you are cunning manipulators that are really good at distracting you from that very important truth.
Find out who you're not allowed to criticize, and you'll find out who's ruling over you.
Mark Twain, wasn't it?
I think it's Voltaire. You hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Voltaire, or Goethe, I don't know, I think it's Voltaire. But yeah, it's...
Voltaire also said, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And now, yeah. Aren't there a whole bunch of riots going on?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got a president, so-called. It's this cardboard cutout fellow. He says Trayvon could have been my son. I mean, since when does a president weigh in any manner on a court case and a court decision? You know, this guy has freedom of reign. He can just say whatever he wants about anything, tip the scales, push emotional buttons. I mean, it's part of the surreal setup we were talking about earlier. The whole thing's surreal. It's meant to scramble your eggs and keep you from making decisions. Very important decisions, like where the hell are you supposed to be? You know, what do I do next? What do I need to cut out of my life so I'm no longer part of this hypnotic spell? You know, that's what people should be working on. And whether it means quitting your job, I mean, a lot of people are doing it. They're getting out. They're saying, I'm off the treadmill. The Matrix is killing me. And I believe that it's killing me in ways I cannot perceive. And that's what people have to come to terms with. We are not smarter than the Matrix. People who think they can go in and figure it out and all this stuff are just going to get stuck in the spider web.
As Cypher said, there's way too much information to decode the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the people get slain by trying to take on the wrong thing. The smart people stay away from it. You know, it's a trap.
Yeah, that's just like they say in the Matrix about the agents. You see, everybody who has stood and fought an agent has died. Okay, people have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. If you see an agent, you do what we do. You run. You run your ass off.
Yeah. Yeah,
and this is precisely what you've done, isn't it, Zen? You've gotten out of the Fourth Reich.
Well, I did a post maybe a year or so ago. It said if your back's against the wall, don't be there. Like people are wondering, well, I'm against the wall. Do I bring out my gun? Do I use an Uzi against the attackers? Well, fine. If your family's under deliberate attack by something and you're under, you know, literal life-threatening circumstances, that's one thing. But if your back's up against the wall, what were you doing there? You know, why were you there if you think you're smart and aware and you saw these forces building for so long, why did you do nothing? Why did you stand there as if nothing's happening? Why didn't you respond to the prompts? And that's the problem. People are in such hypnotic states after years of conditioning. Even the awake, many awake people don't know what to do. They're perplexed. It's like levels of fear. It's stuff we have to really, really work at, you know, expunging from our lives. And it's,
you mentioned, you know, this. You mentioned this in the first hour about David Icke. He said, how to deprogram, and there's this gargantuan stack of books.
Yeah.
You know, it's so true, isn't it? You know, it takes how many decades did it take us to become brainwashed morons, and then how many decades does it take for us to realize how stupid we are, and then on top of that, how many decades does it take to achieve some form of enlightenment?
Yeah, and deprogram, like you said, it's there's a lot of undoing to do. It's simple. It's not that hard, especially when you take action. That's the thing that people have a hard time really realizing they're being inhibited from taking action on the prompts that they're getting. You know, whether it's, like I said, I keep repeating, whether it's moving somewhere, whether it's getting more preparations, it's ballast. You're every time you let grains of truth into your real life from what you understand, you know, consciously, and you let it into your life, it creates ballast of reality, ballast of being able to deal with what's coming, a ballast of being able to make the next decision. It's a principle of living consciously that is not some ethereal cereal. It's not some, you know, fool on the hill twiddling around, you know. It's very, very practical, and that's the real world. That's the real reality that exists, where there's beauty and there's love and there's harmony and there's sharing and there's bounty. But what we're being told, and the images we're complete, always bombarded with, is scarcity, fear, you know, nervousness. Like what you described right a minute ago was pretty much you are being told, you feel like you have to walk on eggshells to even mention this Trayvon BS, you know?
Us to call it BS, because we're white. And I don't believe there's only one race. It's called the human fracking race, and we're all brothers in it, as far as I'm fracking concerned. I don't care if I see a black person get shot, white person, Asian person, whatever. That disgusts me, and I want to help that person. Okay, you know why? Because he's a human being.
Yeah.
You know, and for people to judge me for caring about humanity more than I care about racial prejudice is freaking stupid.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. The way to get out of it, I think, is you know, I like to emphasize that there is a way out. You know, there is a path. I'm call it a path. Maybe that's a little too linear, but there's a way to progress to where we are no longer part of this mess, and things become more evident and you become more empowered. And a beautiful thing that I always talk about and that really resonates with me is synchronicity. When things start to waken up in your lives, all of a sudden, man, I was just thinking about you, boom. Or, you know, if you see certain numbers or, you know, things appear in your life, and those happen more and more frequently as you align yourself with conscious awareness and taking action. You can't just sit there and soak it up and not do anything. There's a lot to be done, and it's one step at a time. We don't have to know the whole distant scene, you know. We take one step at a time and we'll be fine. But unfortunately, people, like I said earlier in that first hour, people opt out for the security of just sitting still because they're familiar with it. And that applies across the board. All of us have that problem. You know, all of us have to battle that every day. Making decisions, it's really what we're up against. But here's another thing that I think is really important too. We've got to stop blaming the external forces for our problems, for our inability to react. We can't blame the government. We can't blame the nasty people accusing you of whatever. You know, we can't blame the police. We can't blame the military. We can't blame the banksters. Ultimately, our life is for ours to steer and decide upon. And nothing should stop that. Unfortunately, this blame mechanism is part of this like Masonic black, white, us, them paradigm that they always want to throw us into, this push me, pull me bullshit. I'm sorry about bull skank.
Whatever. BS.
excuse me, FAA.
It's the FCC.
You guys too.
And I should go tell, and you know, and I wanted to tell them, if you.
Oh, geez. But it's this imposed playground that they give everybody of this us versus them. And you watch for it. It's everything's this little ping pong game that distracts, whereas we need to rise above it. There's a way to transcend it. And synchronicity, what I started to say, is just the most wonderful thing. When you start to see it places, it helps you transcend. It helps you snap out of whatever little false paradigm is trying to corral your mind or your heart or your spirit. There's things that can empower us, and it has everything to do with information, everything to do with your lifestyle, you know, getting away from things that influence you the wrong way. Whatever steps you need to take, take it. And time is short. You know, this whole thing's going to blow. You want to be in the right place. Most of all, you want to be in the right place spiritually. You want to be prepared. You want to be the strength to your family that you need to be when this hits the fan, that you can be someone who has knowledge and love and wisdom and reacts, you know, responds and doesn't react, responds consciously to whatever's coming our way. And that's going to happen all over the world. There's no, you know, I left because I'd done it before and I knew how gratifying it was to get out from inside that horrific penitentiary. I mean, it's, you know, it's bombarded besides chemtrails, the water, the food, the everything, you know, the EMFs, you got cell towers on top of schools, hospitals, any place there's people. I mean,
it comes through every orifice. It comes through every orifice. It's like the penitentiary that is penetratory.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrific. They're out to kill. They're out to maim. They're out to dumb down. They're out to cripple. And people need to freaking get away from it, or fracking, whichever they want to do. But people need to escape it. You know, escape the madness, because you cannot stand up to it. You know, but we can use devices to fight EMFs, and we can take, you know, Z-Tox to fight the radiation. And I do all these things, and I've got Organite around the house, and I take a lot of supplements. I'm on a raw diet. I'm doing everything I can, but I also knew I needed to get my butt outside the penitentiary.
Out of the line of fire, man.
Yeah, before they put the razor wire up, because it's even if they don't, spiritually it's there. You know, you go out and you're checking your passport, and everything is, you know, now it's going to be, you know, iris reading and on and on and on. It's not going to get any better. Whatever we're going to be screaming about it, we need to gather our forces individually in our families, amongst our loved ones. But the awakened community really needs to pull together and information what it's all about. Your show, so many great websites. David Icke's great new station coming up. I mean, that was the most exciting thing to watch happen. He raised over 300,000 pounds. People are behind it. I mean, he invited me to do a weekly thing. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'd love to be part of that. But it's what we can do. Information is our weapon, you know, and conscious awareness and transmitting love in any vibrational form we can is what empowers people. People are so alone. I experienced that on my site. People write in, I'm all alone. I don't know anybody. Nobody listens to me. But wham, we find each other and we have each other and we all speak the same language. We're in the same vibration. I'm not alone. And like I said in another post, I think we're strategically placed. We're where we're supposed to be. And maybe we need to keep moving. And that'll happen when it's supposed to. And even where I am now, I'm not necessarily here permanently. I'm looking around. But it's, you know, it's a learning experience. But I went where I was prompted to go, as I understood it. And if it's wrong, as you go, you'll get steered. The last minute with us, Vinny, I was telling you about our move in the first hour. But we were headed for someplace, and we were pretty much geared up. We had everything ready. The last minute, it completely changed over 2 weeks. And where we landed has had so many synchronistic events I couldn't begin to tell you. It's just fabulous. From people we've met, from crazy incidences to one thing after the other. And it was the craziest last-minute change that I've ever seen in my life. And it was like, and it was so cool. It's fun. And I just want to encourage people to step out, you know, have some guts, do what you're prompted to do, and to stop worrying about the consequences. You know, that's programming.
You know, that's actually quite interesting, is people do think about the consequences, and they think about the consequences for so long that they waste all the time, and wasted time is in itself a consequence of thinking about your consequences.
Exactly, and the moment's gone. Sometimes there's an opening, you know, and synchronicity is waiting there to meet you.
Yeah. And here it is, it's right in front of you. Just take it! What are you waiting for?
Or maybe that's talking to somebody in the freaking line at the grocery store who you see is struggling with something, or you just get this sensation, I'm going to mention what's going on here, or I'm going to point out the chemtrails when I get them outside, or I'm going to do something, but you get that prompt. Yeah. Well, we've got to follow those prompts. We got to stop being little numbnuts where we're not able to respond. It's just
that's your intuition, you know, and it means tuition from within, meaning you're learning from your insides.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It's telling you what to do, man. You know, just listen to your heart, listen to your conscience. I mean, like, I remember this one time, and this is quite a funny example, actually, and this happens to me all the time, where something will tell me to do something. So it's like, Vinny, take down your washing, it's going to rain. And it's just like, no, I can't be bothered, I'm too tired. And then as soon as I walk through the door, boom, starts pissing down with rain. You've got to be freaking kidding me. I should have listened to myself. We'll be right back after the break with Zen Gardener, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I just had to say that there because, I can't add in music to the YouTube versions of the show. I was putting myself on webcam, and behind me is a little picture that we had on just earlier of me as Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis, and it's me, you know, just kind of like tucked up in the sheet going, I see scumbaggery. And Bruce Willis asked me, when? And I go, all the time, walking around like regular people. They don't even know they're scumbags. I mean, you got to have a few laughs, and I think this is what we were talking about earlier as well, weren't we, Zen, is that the importance of having a few laughs can't be overstated, all right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, this world is toxic poison for your mind 99% of the time. There's 1% healing energy in there and 99% scumbaggery. And the thing is, you get what you focus on, and the problem is, the scumbaggery is absolutely trying to seek your attention, and it's loud, and it's brightly coloured, and it's very easy to get distracted by the scumbaggery, and the goodness, the decency, and the caring, the empathy, is that little 1% of in the back of your mind that just goes, hey, stop looking at all the scumbaggery all the time.
Yeah.
You're a good, decent person. Yeah. You don't need to waste your life trying to be a better person. You already are great. Don't worry about these stupid people who insult you and call you racist. Just live.
Yeah. You know, it's totally true. And you know what else is about humor? Laughing at these insane psychopaths, these so-called elites, these controlling whatever they are entities, laughing at their faces, laughing at them, is what really gets them. That really gets them. Just really being able to laugh in their faces at their idiocy, their ugliness, their stupidity, their lack of being complete. You know, they're in this limited realm of screwed upness that is so creepy and is so stupid. You know, we can afford to laugh at them, and that really gets them. I did a post called Faces of Evil That Rule the World
And, you know, I put a bunch of faces of these creeps, these psychopaths in power, religious figures, and, you know, the Kissinger types and all this
the
kind of
stuff. The scariest one was David Rockefeller.
Oh, God. They're all scary, man. Yeah, it's creepy. Their eyes just unbelievable. You actually see black eyes in these people. The darkness is so...
Yeah, it's like
so evident.
It reminds me of like the exorcism of Emily Rose. The eyes of these people, you know.
Yeah. I'm so bloody you. Yeah. I speak an ancient Sumerian and try to suck the soul out of your brain place chasm.
Kissinger looks just like those creeps in what's that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, to the Galaxy,
the Vogon.
Yeah, he's a lookalike.
And apparently, apparently Kissinger's poetry is just as bad. Apparently, Kissinger's poetry is the ultimate anti-aphrodisiac.
Oh, geez, I wonder how much time he has left. He's headed for a nasty ending. I've got a picture I'm going to put up of a gargoyle that looks just like him. It's got a rain pipe coming out of its mouth on a building. It's just unbelievable.
That's called a gargoyle.
Yeah. Vinny, you're informed tonight. You're informed. Hey, you know, I was going to say something about this walking on eggshells thing.
Oh yeah.
Where you can't talk about, you know, even this case, no matter what you say, if you're white, it's a racist comment against the Trayvon thing, and if you're black, it's racist against something else, and people are going, you know, it's this psychotic reaction that's been induced. It's almost like they've used one of their mind control buzzwords, you know, to just flip people out. And you watch, it's going to get more and more insane. But this walking on eggshells, now you can't talk about it. It's the same thing with Zionism. You can't talk about it. You can't talk about the obvious, you know, the exclusion of... They don't even mention Israel and all the spying stuff. And everybody knows, anybody who's a computer person, a real computer person on the inside stuff, knows that the worst hackers, the worst bug planters, the worst spies come out of Israel. They're all, and they know where they're based. They know their nodes. They're the nastiest. Do you see a word on that? No. That's why, you know, you see the Snowden thing. You can tell who's really telling the whole truth and who isn't. If they get in publicity, then they're not saying anything really nasty, or whatever they're saying is supposed to get out. But when they're not covering them, or all of a sudden they disappear, then, you know, they cross the line. But that's just another example, just like so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. People have it all. We've got infinite possibility inside of us, and people need to learn to let it out and follow it, you know, listen to it. Like you were talking when the break happened about bringing in your laundry because you had that sense. I mean, there's so many things like that. And it's not to be like over-spiritualize everything, but we all know when you get that nudge, do you go with it or not? Is it that hard to just give it a shot? Really? Mm. You know, are we that proud? Are we that lazy?
Well, the real problem is when it's like, I don't know, 12:30 and you're in bed and something tells you, get up, write down the song lyric and stuff like that, because then it's a real pain in the ass to get out of bed and write it down, and you choose not to. And then you think, oh, I'll try and remember it. I'll try and repeat it a couple of times, and then you try and remember that song lyric in the morning. It's gone.
Gone. Exactly right. Great example. I mean, if you saw my notes... I scatter all over the place. I mean, I can't even get back to most of them, but at least I write down things as they come. One of the reasons I write, you can probably tell the way I talk, I go all over the shop, but I write because things come so fast and analogies come and all this kind of stuff. When I put it on in black and white, it forms a structure. It's almost like a crystalline thing forms where it makes sense, and I can transmit, I can communicate the essence of what I'm trying to say, be it a, you know, trying to make something clear, if not just for myself, but I'm trying to make something clear, but there's something in it that gets conveyed. And I just did it for myself, I did it to try to do that, but all of a sudden people were writing going, how did you know what I was thinking? Or did you, I can't believe this. And you'll see that more and more on the internet with people who are speaking up. So, or you're thinking of writing an article and you click on something and there it's already written. Someone just wrote it. And you're thinking about that exact thing. How many times has that happened? It's and it happens faster and faster. So just as they're amassing their ugly weapons of darkness to try to contain us, our awakening is exponential. It is just the most exciting thing. And people have got to be able to see it. They've got to be able to identify it and draw encouragement from it and not look at the darkness. That's why when people get fascinated by it, you know, by staring at it and describing it too much, or, oh, isn't it this, isn't it that? We have to some extent to break it down. But when people get their energy gets sucked out and they get sapped, they're not going to be able to identify this wonderful side of it. And that's what people need to learn to feed on. And it comes from heart, you know. And I don't know all the dynamics. I'm no, you know, whatever. I just share what as I understand things. But that's what people need to do. And I think putting things into words, for me, I mean, I write music too and stuff. I haven't been doing music for some time, but or poetry, things like you just said. When things come, they're inspirations, they're precious. Whether it's an impulse to do something for someone or contact an old friend or take care of a stray dog or, you know, clean something or take somebody a cup of tea, a cup of coffee because you know you should, and it would be a nice loving thing to do. And even if you didn't fully feel it, you do it and the feelings come. Like, things activate like that. And we can expect, I think that things are happening vibrationally that are, we're all creating our own tsunami of truth. Like I was saying about that highway, you know, people are all busy with their little machines, whether they're cutting a few blades of grass or planting a tree or helping to lay the road or, feeding people, whatever. There's this truth highway being driven into this refuge back there, wherever, you know, this conscious refuge that is just magnificent. And we have so many people to thank for it, but we all need to be part of it. And we need to go full time. We can't do this part time.